This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Whether you're in the mood for an evening of jazz celebrating a legendary vocalist, a theatrical production exploring soul-saving music from New Orleans, or an outdoor art installation, it's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack.
You know, you don't know if your city is coming back. And then you hear it. It's hope.
The stories and music of New Orleans come to life in an original production from Southern Rep Theater. Boudin, the New Orleans Music Project, celebrates the Crescent City and its cultural offerings through a theater piece that asks a simple question. How has New Orleans music saved your soul? Joining me now to share some of these stories is Southern Rep's artistic director, Aimé Hayes, and jazz vocalist and actor, Philip Manuel. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Diane. It's great to be here.
Good to be here, Diane.
This, I believe, is new territory for Southern Rep. Tell us the backstory of how this multimedia project became a reality.
Well, I was having a plate of boudin with Sean Daniels, who is an amazing director who had done a similar project in Louisville, Kentucky about rock and roll. How has rock and roll saved your soul? And I said, you know what, Sean, this would be amazing here because in New Orleans we have records of musicians and how, you know, where they came from and what they've done. But what we don't really have maybe is an archive of the audience experience. And you can't have the music unless you have somebody listening and vice versa. So I said, let's figure out how to do this. Sean said he was totally in. And at that point, we reached out to WWOZ Radio, who became a partner because their focus is on roots and heritage music of New Orleans and Louisiana. So it made sense for all of us to kind of come together and figure out how to tell all of these stories that we were going to collect from the city of New Orleans and lovers of New Orleans music from around the world.
And that's how it all started, over a plate of boudin. I wonder if the name came from the actual Cajun rice and pork sausage.
It did. That's exactly what happened. And we will be serving boudin at the play.
I didn't know that.
So let's talk about how you went about collecting the stories.
Well, we started about a year ago, and we have a group called the Story Crew with a K, y'all. And what they did is ran around the city and collected stories from people they randomly met on the street, or if someone had a really great story they wanted to share, they filmed it. But you could also write in your story. You could call our special hot number and leave a voicemail with your story. We ended up with over 150 different stories from the community. And from those, we culled out what we thought were the most diverse and best of the stories and added those into the play and then added the music that they often talked about.
What did the community share with you?
Some people had stories about the reason why they moved to New Orleans or the reason why they love the city so much.
Why they came back.
For some of the musicians that wrote in, it was about how music saved them when they were young, that changed the course of their lives. So many of the stories are funny and moving.
They all are built around relationships.
Now, Philip, as a singer and actor, are you telling a story that was told through this collection of stories, or
do
you tell your own?
Both, actually.
Which one can you share with us?
I tell a story of how we used to record with Alan Toussaint, and he would like to record late at night. And this was like 1975. We were doing a Patti LaBelle record, and I was singing background on this entire record. But Alan would record late at night, and about 1 o'clock we'd take a break. You know, you think you're just going to break, but Alan would have these women bring in this huge pots of food, and we would just eat like it was 12 o'clock in the daytime. And, of course, 30 minutes later when Alan comes back and, okay, guys, we're going back in now. You know, you got guys, you know, flatulence is taking over, burping, sleeping. You know, it's hard for guys to get up after chops, you know, rice gravy and candy jams. Yeah, you know, 1:30 in the morning. So I tell that story.
Who else do we hear from in the cast?
We have Brittany James, Clint Johnson, Josh Smith, Natalie Jones, and Dorian Rush. All of them have their own great reasons for being performers and loving New Orleans music so much. As Dorian says, the play is sort of like a jam session, and then we talk to y'all now and then.
Right. And the jam session part is pretty good, too. We take some traditional New Orleans music and do some pretty different things with it. Like, you've never heard Big Chief done like we do it as a ballad. No instrumentation.
Big Chief,
spark out of drive. Got my squaw right by my side. My flag boy just went by.
Jay Weigel, the musical director, when he saw that Big Chief was a part of the show, he and I both obviously had the same idea. Let's slow it down, do it totally different, throw people off, really. It opens the show.
It stirs me as a native New Orleanian to my soul to hear songs that I grew up with reimagined in such a profound and moving way. It just makes you want to shake your booty and cry all at the same time, you know?
And Jay has a classical background, so Jay gives it a level of sophistication that makes it just perfect.
Did the approaching 10th anniversary of Hurricane Katrina play a role in the desire to collect and archive these stories?
Yes, actually, because with the anniversary, I know that there was a lot of push to do things about what happened in 2005. And as someone who lost a family member in the storm, certainly I felt like, what does this 10th anniversary mean? And I thought long and hard about it, Diane. And for me, what matters the most is celebrating why we're still here. And the thing that got me through 2005 and the grieving process afterwards, music. And if I had to do some kind of tribute in memory of my grandfather, in memory of the people who lost their lives and their homes, it would be through music, because he was an opera singer, actually. Mm-hmm. And so this is a beautiful way and a personal way to celebrate what this year means.
And wow. Philip, how would you say that this project strengthens our resolve to be New Orleanians no matter what life throws our way?
It does provide an overview of not only the history of New Orleans music, but kind of almost in a very subtle, understated way, the last 10 years as well. I think we'd be naive to not recognize that, but we certainly don't want to make it the main part of what this is all about, because it is in no way that.
Yeah.
But certainly, Katrina has its moments.
Is there a particular song that has saved your soul?
Probably the first song I ever learned, which is a song called My Mother's Eyes, which oddly enough was taught to me by my father when I was four.
How does it go?
It goes, one bright and guiding light that taught me wrong from right, I found in my mother's eyes. Kind of like that.
Wow.
It's a real pretty song.
You got me misting up here. Are the stories still being collected for this music history project?
Yes, there's a lot of interactive parts of the play. If you arrive an hour early, we have a phone booth that you can go in and leave your story. We also have a chalkboard on which you can write a little bit of your story. And at www.boudanmusicproject.com, you can still submit your story. One of the things that was important to us is that we put out a call to the New Orleans community to submit music alters, which would also respond to the prompt, how has New Orleans music saved your soul? And we have received the most amazing art pieces that we're going to be auctioning off, and they will be decorating the set. It's incredible, from Ernie K. Doe shrines to dewdrop in facsimiles to original art. And also we have an interactive map by Jacob Rosenzweig. What we did is took all the data from these stories and he turned it into what is called, quote unquote, a psychogeographic map, in which we've broken the city into wards. And we've shown who comes from where and what comes from
whom.
It's
pretty special.
It is so cool. It's amazing. And so if you get there early, the musicians will be warming up. We'll be playing the videos that we've collected. You can have some boudin and a drink and think about what it means to be in New Orleans, you know?
It's not going to be your usual theater experience.
Yeah, it's like a party at your grandma's house, but kinda, with nice lights and costumes.
Yeah, it's really nice.
Southern Rep Artistic Director Aimee Hayes and jazz vocalist Philip Manuel, thanks.
Thank you.
Boudin, the New Orleans Music Project, opens tomorrow at the Ashe Powerhouse Theater, 1731 Barone Street, with performances running through May 17th. More info at southernrep.com.
You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack. Internationally acclaimed artists will be on hand this week as five new sculptures are being installed on neutral grounds along the Poydras Corridor. The public artworks presented by the Hellas Foundation are being rotated into the sculpture exhibit as some familiar works are leaving. Michael Manjaris is the exhibition's curator and executive director of Sculpture for New Orleans. He joins us now by phone. Michael, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
The Poydras Corridor exploded with public art post-Katrina, and now more sculptural works are headed downtown. Tell me, what can we look forward to?
Well, we have some great new artists coming in, a couple of Texas artists, a Louisiana artist, and several New York artists.
Can you tell us who these artists are and describe their works for us?
I'll start with a New York artist, Boaz Vadia. He's an Israeli artist. He does stonework in a unique style. The other artist from New York is Carol Fuhrman, who is a hyper-realist, which means very, very lifelike. And then as far as the Texas artists are concerned, there's Dean Ruck. He's a mainstay in the Houston art scene. He's half conceptual, half kind of static art. He's got a partner named Dan Havel, a co-collaborator, and they have done fantastic pieces to where they've taken old houses and made entirely new structures out of the material from the old houses. It's put them on the world map, actually. And there's a former New Orleanian, Greer Ferris. He's now teaching up in Fort Smith, Arkansas. He's bringing a piece. And Martin Payton, a New Orleans artist, after the storm, he has spent his time halfway in Baton Rouge, like many other people have, and New Orleans, so he commutes. He taught at Xavier. He's a great artist. He was good friends of New Orleans favorite John Scott. The mission of Sculpture for New Orleans was to bring back the artists who left, and this is one way of doing it in my mind. And it also is increasing the collector base, which helps the artists make money. In doing so, gets everybody active and involved, and then the entire city gets to benefit because they get to see public art everywhere.
What will catch our eye?
Oh, every piece will catch your eye. Greer Ferris's piece is a very nice stainless steel piece. It's bright and shiny, and it'll catch all the sunlight and just look really nice. Dean Ruck's piece is actually made from rear view mirrors, like motorcycle mirrors, the circular ones. And he probably used about 400 of them to build this piece. Carol Fuhrman's work is beautiful. They're two lifelike human beings sitting on pedestals, and they're going to be directly across from the federal courthouse. And then David by Boaz Vadia will be down by Convention Center Boulevard and Harris. It's a very photogenic sculpture, and that crosswalk there allows for everyone to take pictures in front of the piece. The rest are in the neutral ground. Martin Payton's piece is in the neutral ground at Loyola and Poydras. It's big, it's blue, quite wonderful. They all add to the landscape. There's a few pieces that we placed at stoplights where people can actually look at them and just look at the wonderment of the art, and it takes their mind off of whatever they're thinking or whatever they're concerned about and look at something that puts them in another place. The only stretch outside of that is Patrick Renner's piece, which is a gigantic 190-foot sculpture that will meander along the neutral ground on the other side of Claiborne. It's called Funnel Tunnel. It actually looks like a gigantic cornucopia. It's very colorful. It's made of thatched wood. It looks like a big tube. On one end, the mouth of it looks like a big horn, and then the tail of it, it goes down, and it's just a wondrous thing, and it'll be an oh-wow moment for the viewer.
Michael Manjaris, Executive Director of Sculpture for New Orleans and Curator of the Poydras Corridor Sculpture Exhibition presented by the Hellas Foundation. Thanks.
Thank you so much for having me.
You can watch as the newest sculptures to the Poydras Corridor will be installed on Friday morning. And you're invited to a free Poydras Corridor artist talk at the Ogden Museum of Southern Art, 925 Camp Street, Saturday morning at 10. More info at ogdenmuseum.org. This month marks the 100th anniversary of the birth of legendary jazz singer Billie Holiday. In celebration of Lady Day's century mark, cabaret singer and New York jazz performer Joey Arias will channel the iconic songbird in a one-night-only tribute at the Contemporary Arts Center's warehouse. We caught up with Joey in New York by phone. Welcome to Inside the Arts.
Thank you so much, Diane. It's a pleasure to be here right now with you on the phone.
Well, tell me, how will you honor Billie Holiday's life and career in her centennial year?
We are going to honor her with her legacy of beautiful music, songs that she wrote, her elegance, her jazz interpretations, her textures, her lifestyle. It really is a tribute to Billie Holiday. And people who have seen me and know me are pretty shocked to see this show because they want to see Joey pop out, but they get the elegance and the tribute to Billie, you know, which she's owed. I've been doing this for years. And I've always loved the textures of Billie Holiday's voice, and now it's her 100th year, her centennial, and it's a great time to celebrate her legacy.
Now, you have taken this tribute around the globe over the years.
Yeah.
How did we get so lucky?
I was there actually 15 years ago doing some club dates where I did some Billie, and people were pretty blown away and very excited. This time it's going to be just wonderful because this time we're having the mini orchestra and just the timing of her centennial.
Is this going to be an all Billie Holiday concert?
There's no other songs involved except for the songs that she loved to sing and songs that she wrote and songs that mark her legacy, especially doing the Strange Fruit.
How do you handle an emotional work like Strange Fruit, which tackles racism and lynching?
Well, because Billie Holiday was a woman who never wanted to walk through the back door. And she loved being a woman, a lady, and always put one foot forward and did not give a damn to who tried to stop her. And she did it so elegantly and so chic. I will tell the story of how she got the song. I want people to remember what she did and why she did this. And I want the lingering to continue on and celebrate her incredible life because she was a great, fun woman. And everyone thinks that she was a sad lady and down and there was drugs and this and that. But if you really dive into her life and talk to people who knew her, she was a fun lady. Actually, I met somebody, part of the family, McKay. Louis McKay was her last husband. And I knew her son, stepson, Louis McKay Jr. And years later, I met Craig McKay. And he has pretty much a lot of Billie Holiday's clothing and archival material and paperwork. And came to my home, and he brought the suitcase over with clothing and paperwork and passports and little things that were just amazing how elegant this woman was. She would carry around Wedgwood ashtrays to just drop her ashes onto these Wedgwood ashtrays. You know, that's how chic was she was. And
yeah.
Everything was so elegant and beautiful. And, you know, and you could just tell by holding these things that everything was just perfection. She was a lady of class and style. And I told people, she was Lady Day. She was a lady.
Let's talk about what you will bring to these classic works that will make them your special tribute to the singer as opposed to just an imitation of her style.
My voice has this uncanny texture as Billie's, and I just start singing and I just go there and really bring life to those words, and I make it my own, but then it's still a lot of Billie comes through. As if she was really there, and I'm not imitating her, I'm just singing along, and people are just listening, going like, closing their eyes, thinking, this is really bizarre.
You've changed. That sparkle in your eyes is gone. Your smile's just a childish young. You're breaking my heart. You've changed.
I've had people who've actually seen her and knew her, and they're actually in their 90s and looking at the shows and just sit and close their eyes and just rolling their head and saying, this is really way too much. I really feel her presence on stage when I hear your voice.
Now, you're not a light-skinned black woman.
No, I'm not. Not at all.
You're a white male and 60. Where did your passion come from for Billie Holiday, and how did you come to do this repertoire?
When I was a child, my parents always listened to music. I'm originally from North Carolina, but we grew up listening to music, all kinds of music. And when Billie's records were on, I used to think to myself, check this voice. What's coming through? I want to sound like that.
What will make this performance memorable for New Orleanians?
I want people to hear these tunes and walk away and remember this beautiful lady and the songs and this life, the struggle that she went through to be who she was. We live in a world that unites everyone through song, and I think that she believed that. That song was that the universal language.
Jazz performer and cabaret artist Joey Arias, thanks. Enjoy your stay in New Orleans.
Thank you so much.
Them that's got shall get, them that's not shall lose. So the Bible said, and it still is news. Mama may have, Papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own.
Joey Arias sings Billie Holiday in a one-night-only performance at the CAC Warehouse, 900 Camp Street, 7:30 Friday evening. More info at cacno.org.
Mama may have, Papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own, that's got his own.
That's our show for this week. Inside the Arts is a production of WWNO. Our program is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette next Tuesday at 1 p.m. when we'll go Inside the Arts. I'm Diane Mack.